On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit. How's it going, everybody? Welcome to Tall Can Sports number 170, and it has been a year almost to the day when I checked back actually to look at it since we've had my guest tonight on with us, David Foote of CJBQ down in Belleville. How's it going, my friend?
Hanging in there. How about you?
No complaints. You guys got to be getting pretty excited with what's about to go down there.
Yeah, lots going on, and we're a lot more excited now that we know that we'll be carrying Belleville Senators AHL games on CJBQ this year as well.
That's right. That news came out a couple of weeks ago now, I guess. It will be, as you mentioned, CJBQ, the radio home of the new Belleville Senators, the American Hockey League affiliate, of the Ottawa Senators, moved from Binghamton. I guess the first question is, have you been around the team much? Are they settling in? Is it starting to feel like home for them?
Yeah, I don't know if it's starting to feel like home yet for them. A lot of the guys who are here for training camp, which opened this week, are still living out of a hotel in town. Part of that's because the roster is not finalized.
Right.
Part of that is because they're looking for places to stay and to rent out for the season. But they're certainly settling in. They've been practicing in a rink that's attached to what their permanent home will be, the Yardman Arena, as that's still under construction. So, they're settling in, kind of getting the feel for the town, and some guys dealing with being sent down from NHL camps, other younger guys getting their feet wet in their first pro camps or, you know, second or third pro camps. And, really just getting a feel for the town and for what Coach Kurt Klein endorsed and staff have in store for them.
So there's a few things you've mentioned there that I want to touch on and circle back to, but let's start here. Like I said, it was about a year ago this time that they made it official that the team was coming, and you came on, you kind of told us what was going to go down in terms of renovating the arena, in terms of, you know, what the tie-in was going to be in terms of divisions, who they were going to play, these sorts of things. What would you say over the course of the year the ramp-up has been like? Does it feel like the community is embracing it? What have kind of early ticket sales looked like? How do you think this is shaped up over the last year?
It's been a bit of a slow build, I think, if I'm honest. Things didn't really start to come together until the last couple of months or so when the team finally announced kind of single seat prices and a couple of flex pack options, half season, 12 games. From the time of the announcement, the big push was really on the season ticket sales, and that was kind of all we heard was, you know, it's going to happen in a year. You can buy season tickets, and we're going to do this $20 million renovation of the rink. So piece by piece, you know, the rink started to come together, and now it's really kind of starting to feel real, if you will. Work on the rink is a month away from completion, and you can start to see from the exterior of the building, things are really coming together. And that, I think, is starting to build a lot of hype. Finally seeing the team on the ice is starting to build a lot of hype. But really, until the last, you know, month, 2 months or so, it's been a lot of questions, I guess, more than answers, just kind of waiting to see what happens. Essentially building a franchise from the ground up is not a easy or fast process by any means. So we've been waiting on the team to kind of get their feet set. And now that they've done that to a point, things are starting to come together a little bit more and people are starting to get a little bit more excited about things.
Nice. Yeah, it's I've been to the Yardman Arena, obviously, a few times. Had to see the Generals take on the Bulls when I was going to college down there in Belleville. Mm-hmm. But can you give us, it was going to be expanded and renovated, modernized to, I believe, you'll correct me if I'm wrong, 4,400 is the new capacity.
About 4,400, yeah.
So one of the other unique things about the building was that it was an Olympic-size ice surface. I believe that was supposed to be downsized to a more North American style. How has that come together? Have you been in? Have you been able to take a look around? Have you kind of seen how it might be different than it was in the past for people who have been there before?
It will be drastically different. Okay. I haven't been inside in probably a month or so, but I have been keeping a pretty close eye on what's happening. 4,400 is the new capacity in and around there. The Olympic ice surface is gone. And that's actually allowed the team to put in about four more rows on either side, lengthwise of the arena. They knocked out the back, the north wall, put in about an 800 seat bank there, and, seats are in from what I understand. And, piping is down. The floor has been laid, as in the concrete. But they're not putting ice in, obviously, until everything else around the rink itself is done. So boards still have to go up. The scoreboard still has to be moved in. And all the finishing touches around concession stands and that sort of thing have to be finished up. But the big focus right now is getting the team area ready. Anybody who was familiar with the building would know that the Belleville Bulls weren't really working with a whole lot of space.
Right.
They pretty much had, you know, a hallway underneath one bank of stands, and their dressing room was not overly big. Their training room was not overly big. And they had, you know, coaches' office and a lounge and a gym, but there wasn't a whole lot of space, even though they had all of those facilities. Essentially what they've done is built off of where the Bulls' dressing room was.
Mm-hmm.
So if you drive by the rink, the big addition that's been added on, what's essentially the front of the building, is all the Sens dressing room complex. It's about 5,000 square feet or so. So brand new dressing room, hot tub, cold tub. They've got the workout facilities there. They've added a video theater, about a 25 seat video theater.
Wow.
For the team. You talk to some of the people around the team. I've spoken to their strength and conditioning coach. I've spoken to the head coach and a few players as well. And the fact that they get to essentially not pick and choose what's in there, but, you know, they got to put the groundwork down before it was built and have a big say in what was included has a lot of people around the team really excited. It's going to be one of the best team facilities in the American Hockey League. And, you know, have these guys well positioned to put a good team on the ice. So things are coming together. The rink has to be done by November 1st. That's the home opener against the Syracuse Crunch. And yeah, right now they're just trying to finish off the team facilities, the dressing room and that sort of stuff. And then they'll put the finishing touches on the fan areas, if you will. But along with that north bank of seats that's been added, there's a couple more fan decks that are being put in.
Oh, nice.
If you will, as similar to what you see at the Rogers Center out in center field.
Sure, yeah.
Again, people who are familiar with the Yardman would know that in the Belleville Bulls days, the rink only had three suites, if you even want to call them that. they were in the south end of the rink up high, and essentially as soon as you walked in to the arena, these suites were in front of you, and you couldn't really see anything inside the ring itself.
Right.
Those suites have been completely ripped out, and there's going to be a fan deck there. So as you walk in the main entrance, the elevator there has been moved, and you come in the doors, you'll be able to see right through to ice level, which immediately will kind of bring fans into the game. They've added 8 actual suites on the balcony level.
Gorgeous.
Much needed for a professional team, right?
And, sure.
That's facilitated a move of the broadcast facilities across to the other side of the rink, the east side, which will be new for us to have that kind of perspective from that side of the rink. And then on the north side where they put in these new seats, it's kind of created another level, a 300 level, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And beside those banks of seats, there's like a 2-level standing room deck that fans will be able to access. So it's kind of opened the building up a fair bit, but at the same time, having end seats is something that will be new to Belleville hockey fans, and it's still going to give the rink a very intimate feel when it's finished. Like, I can't wait to see what the final product looks like.
Yeah, like for people who have never been in there, it was kind of a strange layout before in terms of, you know, this Olympic size ice, and then it was just kind of up against a wall on the one side, right? There was it wasn't your traditional bowl. There was
no bowl. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There was a big it had steep seats on the sides, which they've kept, and they're keeping the green seats as well, I might add.
Nice.
But yeah, it was on the north and south ends, it was pretty much just a big wall, and they had incorporated one row of seats above the north wall, which was also, concourse area, if you will, back there, and that was the end that the Zamboni came in and out of, and that wall is completely gone now. So it's going to look like a much more open building. I'm interested to see how much the scoreboard closes things up, so to speak, because I don't know how big of a board they're going
with.
Sure,
yeah.
Seeing pictures now of what it looks like without the scoreboard, it looks big and open, and that might change things a little bit. But at the same time, I think in that building, a medium-sized scoreboard, if you will, is going to make a big difference and close things up and make it really intimate. But it's going to be one of the top facilities in the American Hockey League, just based on the fact that it's essentially a brand new building. They've close to gutted it, and it's going to be something really different for hockey fans here in Belleville.
So you referenced a little while ago that the building is approaching complete, but not quite complete, and that the home opener is on November 1st. Training camp is open. Preseason games will be getting underway here shortly. What does that look like for the team since their building isn't quite ready?
Yeah, a lot of these guys, a good chunk of them, played in the Ottawa Senators rookie tournament. The Leafs held the tournament down at RICO last weekend or the week before, and a good chunk of the players took part in that camp, if you will, before coming to Belleville. So the team itself is only playing 2 preseason games. They're going out to Laval this weekend for the brand spanking new Place Belle, which is right off the highway there in Laval, and they're going to play 2 games Saturday and Sunday in Laval, and can be heard on CJBQ as shameless plug. Jack Miller is going to be calling those games and the majority of the games through the season. But yeah, it's a 2-game exhibition series against the Laval Rocket, who they are going to see 12 more times in the regular season.
Oh my goodness,
it's a little bit crazy, and after that, they're on the road for a month. So they're in Laval this weekend for that exhibition series, and then they go back to Laval to open the season on October 6th. That is Saturday night? Friday night. So
yeah, Friday.
Two games this weekend in Laval, and then 2 games next weekend in Laval, the 6th and the 7th, to kick off the month. They are in Syracuse the following weekend and Hershey on the Friday, Saturday. The following weekend, they are in Hartford and Providence. And actually, it's a 3-3 weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They'll go Hartford to Providence to Springfield. And then they round out the month of October where in Manitoba, right? They make their only trip out west. They'll fly to Manitoba on the 27th, 28th, and then open things up the day after Halloween on a Wednesday night, which is kind of nice that they kept the Wednesday home date. That's something that Belleville Bulls fans would be used to. And while they're not keeping much of the Belleville Bull traditions, I suppose, they have elected for the Wednesday night home games, which is kind of nice. So a busy month on the road. And I spoke to head coach Kurt Kleinendorst about that and what that means for the team and will it be tough to deal with? And he said, yeah, you know, it's always tough to not have a home.
Yeah, no doubt.
But at the same time, the practice rink is here. And it's a fantastic facility for them. And being on the road is not a bad thing to start the season. They'll be able to build some chemistry, some cohesiveness, and hopefully put together a decent record before coming home and help to build that hype a little bit.
Nice to get that Manitoba trip out of the way in October instead of February.
Yeah. And that's the longest of their road trips for the season. They'll bus everywhere except for Manitoba and Charlotte. They'll go to Charlotte, North Carolina in November for two games back-to-back to play the Checkers, and they'll fly there as well.
So as we kind of put this together for people who maybe traditionally aren't AHL fans, you can kind of see how this works, right? As you mentioned, a bunch of guys at the rookie tournament, and then a bunch of guys who would have been at Senators camp are gradually being sent down. And some of those guys will be the last round of cuts out of Ottawa. That'll probably happen this weekend as the NHL season starts on the 4th and then the AHL season on the 6th. Gone for a month. Most of these guys won't have had a chance to even look for a home yet. Or some of these guys, right? By the time they get sent down, a couple practices in, off to Laval and wherever else and not back till November, there's going to be a lot of guys living out of suitcases for quite a while.
Yeah, it's going to be something to get used to for them for sure. And you know, hopefully we'll make that month of November just a little bit better, and hopefully not too much of a distraction in between their road trips, which are all on the weekend through October. They'll be able to be in Belleville and to hopefully kind of settle in and find some places to live. But yeah, they'll be on the road every weekend for October, and then starting at home, they'll play pretty much three games a week at home for the month of November. So I know the team has been petitioning the community, I guess, to find rental properties for guys to live in.
Right.
There's some brand new condos that are being built in the downtown, which I have no confirmation, but I feel like could be prime spots for some of these players.
Sure.
But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they deal with that again. Still kind of setting this franchise up and figuring stuff out from a front office point of view as well as from an on-ice standpoint.
Yeah, really interesting to watch that process from start to finish, like you said, building from scratch here. I wonder about the community. The last time you were on, we talked a little bit about, you know, you and I both went to school there. You're still extremely familiar with the market. It was always an interesting dynamic kind of being halfway between Toronto and Ottawa, of a split between Leafs and Senators fans. I wonder if you're starting to see any signs yet of it. Maybe, I know they haven't played any games yet, but people being a little more open-minded to the Senators who wouldn't have been traditionally, is it starting to shift that way? Or do you think it'll probably take some time as they get in and get actually playing some games?
Now, call me crazy, but I've seen a lot more Senators hats and shirts around, Ottawa Senators stuff. The team only started putting logoed merchandise out again, maybe a month ago when they released their jerseys, which are fantastic.
They are nice looking jerseys, I have to admit.
It's not exactly super Belleville friendly. I know a lot of people were hoping for some gold in there again, right, to kind of throw back to the Bulls. But this team is doing as much as it can, I think, to create its own identity in town. And again, you know, link itself to its parent club, which makes a whole lot of sense. They have done for this season only a shoulder patch with an inaugural season Belleville-type logo, which kind of incorporates the city crest.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a nice touch.
Sure.
But the main logo itself, essentially spin off of the Ottawa third jersey, the B with the red and black square kind of behind it, and then the barber pole jerseys is what they're going with. So now that the team store is kind of set up and they've got a nice little range of merchandise in there, you're starting to see a little bit more out throughout town. But I mean, yeah, I could be crazy and just noticing it more, but I'm seeing a lot more Senators related stuff when I'm out and about,
I gotta ask what this is gonna do to you, because I know you are a hardcore Leaf fan and you're gonna get tied in here calling some games and covering the team so closely. I'm a little afraid for you that we're gonna lose you to the dark side.
I've got you saying that from that side, and I've got some friends who work in the Senators organization that are just rubbing their hands thinking they're gonna convert another good friend of mine from Loyalist, Chris Thompson, has worked with the Senators for years now and is essentially a convert, right? And he told me, you know, you're gonna get around the team, you're gonna start getting invested, and yep, it's just gonna happen, you won't even know it. But you know, while it will make for interesting times when the Marlies are in town, and I'm privileged enough, I suppose, to be able to get to travel with this team and call some games. And I'll do one at least one at Ricoh Coliseum, and I'll do one at Air Canada Center on Boxing Day. And those will be highlight games for me, because I won't lose the Leaf fandom. But at the same time, I notice myself paying a lot more attention to what's happening in Ottawa. At least. So it's having an effect at that level for sure.
I sympathize with you. I'm living here in Ottawa now. It's hard to stay strong, but the fire still burns bright here. I'm not switching, but that's got to be
still that break between the NHL and the AHL, right?
Right. So, that's right. And it's got to be a thrill for you to be calling a game at the Air Canada Center.
Yeah, I mean, before my kind of initial broadcast schedule was laid out to me, that was kind of one I'd circled on the calendar already, at least to go to. I was going to be there
Sure. Either
way on Boxing Day. My family, again, being a bunch of diehard Leaf fans, have kind of made it a tradition on Boxing Day to go to watch the Marlies play anyway. So I was planning to be there. And then not really knowing what was happening. I mean, we only got the rights again about a month or so ago. And assuming that Jack Miller would be the voice of the team, which
sure,
he is.
Yeah.
I knew that there would be opportunities to get in there if the cards fell my way. And knowing that he is always with TSN Radio for the World Juniors.
That's right, yeah.
That was one of the games that I had circled. So it turns out lucky enough for me that, yeah, I mean, I cannot wait to be there and to call a game from the Foster Hewitt Media Gondola. Like I did when I was in Peterborough, I did a few games in Ottawa at the Canadian Tire Center because, as you know, the 67s played out of there for a couple of seasons.
Sure, yeah.
And that was an experience, you know, to be in an NHL barn and to be way up high like that. But it was an OHL game and there was maybe 300 people in the crowd and there was no atmosphere.
Yeah.
And I feel like they could hear me yelling from ice level because it was so empty. But this will be different. The tickets are selling well for the Boxing Day game. I assume the Senators are going to try to send a fan bus down from Belleville. And yeah, man, my first game is December 20th in Rochester, unless things change. And but that one 6 days later is certainly the one I'm most looking forward to.
No doubt. No doubt. Rob and I, my usual co-host here, we have been talking about shooting down to Belleville, maybe for a Marlies and Bulls. That's going to take a while for me to get over. And
I'm a little nervous myself about it. But
little Marlies versus Belleville Senators. Maybe you'll give us the tour and come back on the show for us while we're in town. Do this live.
Yeah, absolutely. You got six chances to get out here and do that throughout the season, so you should be able to find one.
That'd be fantastic. Before we let you go, Leaf camp in full swing. I know you're an NHL guy as well. What do you think here on the Leafs as they haven't made any cuts? Babcock basically said he was going to keep the full 40 guys around as they're still playing a lot of games. Who's standing out to you? Who do you like? Who do you think's going to manage to crack this squad that maybe we weren't counting on?
You know what? As far as dark horses go, I'm not really sure. I think the biggest thing is Babs is just keeping his options open. You know, this was a team last year that we saw really benefit from some young guys and some AHL call-ups who got a chance to come up and make a name for themselves. So I think the bigger storyline will be, how does Austin Matthews come back after his incredible season last year?
Looks okay so far, eh?
Looks just fine so far with the Hattie the other night.
Yeah.
You know, how do Marner and Nylander do? The goaltending thing will be interesting, as it always is. A little bit of stability back there finally. But I think it's smart of them to keep so many guys in camp and to make guys play for their jobs and not kind of finalize that roster so early, if that makes sense. You know, it's
I'm sure the Marlies aren't happy about it, but
no, they're probably super pissed about it. Yeah. But it's as far as the player development goes, I think it's a great move, because the Marlies have had so much success recently as well, and clearly the organization is real deep. So you know, Babs and Lou and company taking their time to evaluate their guys and try to put the best team on the ice that they can. I think they make the playoffs again easily. I don't like to say much more than that at this point of the
right.
season, but I'm confident in how the Leafs will do this year, and I can't wait to see you know, what some of their prospects look like when the Marlies are in town here.
Yeah, no, it's true, and especially up and down the wings on that Marlies team, they're going to be real deep. To me, watching this team has been interesting, especially, you know, there's still seems to be that spot in the bottom pair, left defenseman, that they're checking out Rosen, they're checking out Borgman, they're checking out Dermott. And then fourth line center, after they went out and signed Dominic Moore to a $1 million contract, I think most of us just assumed that was his job. And Miro Altonen has gotten almost all the reps on that fourth line with the NHLers when they put the full lineups in. So, you know, they're clearly still looking at this, right? They clearly haven't decided exactly who this is going to be. They're giving everybody every opportunity, so...
Well, and they got beat pretty handily a couple times by Ottawa, right?
Yeah.
And I know not the full lineup in there, but yeah, just trying to figure stuff out is really all you can do at this time of year, right? Is just, you know, see what's working, see what's not, and try to put the best lineup you can there for opening day. And they're taking their time.
It's true. David Foote, we appreciate this. You can follow David on Twitter at Footy on the Air. And check him out on CJBQ day-to-day, but also, as he mentioned, calling some games throughout the season. And we appreciate you doing this, man. It's great to have you on. And like I said, maybe we can do this in person down in Belleville for a game.
Yeah, anytime, man. Thanks for having me. And 100%, you let me know when you're going to be here. And maybe we can even get it done from the rink. Who knows?
That would be outstanding. If not, maybe over to do it over a couple of pints somewhere. But we'll make the best of it either way. Appreciate it,
absolutely,
my man. Absolutely. That's Tall Can Sports 170, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Well, this one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at Tall Can Audio.